Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Welcome to Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
It's time to document the journey.
Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm your host, Augustino Zoida, and welcome to the show, Kevin Lyons. You guys, we're trying something a little bit different here. So we're adding a new segment to this show. Homeschool Podcast is adding a new segment, and the new segment is called The Rewatchables. So we still have the Homeschool Podcast as regular, great guests talking about everything from stand-up comic to, you know, whatever. We are going to be adding a new segment where we talk about movies. So I've been trying to think of a new segment to add to this show that is something I love talking about. And one of my favorite things in the world is movies. I love talking about it. And it's one of the things that I have been wanting to do. So instead of starting a brand new podcast, I ain't going to let Homeschool Podcast go. We are going to introduce this segment, and it's called Rewatchables. So Kevin and I will talk about movies. So we used to have this show on YouTube. It's still there. I mean, there's great, hilarious episodes. You guys can go check it out, called On the Rocks, where Kevin would force me to watch movies. Because if you know anything about me, I don't have your typical opinion on movies. I'm a little bit of a, what would you say, like obscure, different.
He's an idiot.
Okay. So I have a different point of view on movies. So Kevin would force me to watch movies that I normally wouldn't want to watch. And then we would, you know, get drunk and talk about them. So it's called On the Rocks. That's really fun. So now we're going to do something where we'll talk about movies each week. Every week it'll be a different movie. But every week someone will choose what movie we're going to watch. So I might force him to watch some. So here's how it's going to go. All right. We're going to discuss the movies. It's going to be a little discussion. This is not a review on movies. Okay. We are just going to have a little discussion about movies, and then at the end we will play a movie trivia, and whoever wins that trivia is going to choose the next movie that we discuss, and it most likely will be something that the other person hasn't seen, and then they will be forced to watch a movie. I think I explained it all by now.
Yes.
I think they get the idea.
Nice rule book.
Yeah, man. So before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Uni Pizza Ovens. All right, you guys, Uni Pizza Ovens allows you to have your very old pizza oven in your home, or maybe just something on the go. They make portable pizza ovens, dude. I didn't even tell you about this yet. So if you're tailgating or you go to the park and normally you bring your little tailgate barbecue, listen, you can also get your little pizza oven. If you got a backyard patio, a balcony, you can have your very own pizza oven, which is great for entertaining. It makes a great gift. It's great for date night when you're inviting a chick over and you want to have Netflix and chill. Make your own pizzas. And you no longer have to be the rich kid on the block that has their own pizza oven, because it's affordable. And there's many different sizes to choose from, and they're portable. So click the link in the description. And it's also at homeschooledpod.com. Click on sponsors. And also, this episode is brought to you by True Dog. True Dog specializes in dog food and dog treats and dental care for your dog, and it's all natural products. Okay, it is It's listen, you want to make sure you know what you're giving your dog. You want to make sure the dog food today has got a whole bunch of artificial shit they're allergic to. True Dog is only real ingredients, real meat, and they have treats, they have dental care, and you can use my link in the description, and also you're going to use promo code HOLIDAY21, and you'll get 30% off. So use a link in the description or go to homeschoolpod.com, click on sponsors, and then click the True Dog banner. They have treats. They got dog food. There's a gift basket right now. You can give it to somebody who has a pet for the holidays. It includes the dental treats. It includes the dental spray for dogs that don't like to have their teeth brushed. They just have a little spray. Makes it easier. So check it out at True Dog. Use the link in the description. That's very important. And 30% off. Use promo code HOLIDAY21. Now let's give a proper introduction to this new segment that we got. I was going to say new shit.
Nothing about us is proper.
All right, let's do it. This brand new section. I'm Augustino Zoida. He's Kevin Lyons. This is The Rewatchables. All right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to do pause real quick.
Why?
We're going to edit it. Watch your hands, because I haven't figured out how to turn off the autofocus. So when you're moving and stuff like that, you see what it's doing?
But asking me not to move my hands is like...
No, I'm not asking you not to move your hands. Just don't move your hands out here.
I'll do my best, but I can't make any promises.
All right, but if you complain about the autofocus, that's why.
No, it's all right. All right. So where was I?
Nah, just introduce a new segment real quick, and let's get started.
All right. So, let's get it started. I'm Augustino Zoida. He's Kevin Lyons. This is The Rewatchables. And today... we're going to start this off because neither one of us has won any competition yet, any trivia yet. So we're going to start off with a movie that's just new in theaters that we both just saw last night, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I saw it again today.
That's right. Kevin's seen it twice already. So
two times.
Qualifies as a rewatchable.
Yes, it is. Very rewatchability factor for me.
So... Kevin, I think, was... I've been looking forward to this movie, believe it or not, but Kevin, I think, was, like, really looking forward to this movie.
Well, when you were talking about earlier how I would always force you to watch movies,
yeah,
and I think a lot of people should know that I am a huge Ghostbusters fan, but you, sir, are not as big as a Ghostbuster fan as me, right?
Yeah, I'll say, I'm not a Ghostbusters fan. It doesn't mean I don't like him. I don't like the movie. On paper, I should love the Ghostbusters. It's the 80s.
Sci-fi. Well, you don't like sci-fi.
I'm not a big sci-fi, but, you know, I should love it. And I actually do love it until, like, the third act. I get really bored for some reason. And I've never really fully gotten into the entire franchise.
During the third act of Ghostbusters, yeah, that's when you start to get bored? Mm-hmm. Why? What makes it boring?
You know what has always bothered me, and this is the same reason I'm not a big Star Wars guy, is I don't like...
Special effects?
Fake stuff. Yeah. I don't... And special effects today is way better, but back then, it was a lot of puppets. I can't take it seriously. I can't, like, look at a puppet moving around.
What's wrong with puppets?
I just don't take it seriously. And anytime you got, like, a costume or something, you know... But what I thought was cool about this movie, and I don't know if I should say spoiler alert right here, but I'm not really giving away anything serious about the story.
Okay.
But what I thought was cool about this movie is that I thought that some of the monsters and ghosts, demons, whatever you want to call them, I thought that they actually still looked the same from the 80s. And I thought that was cool.
They did. Yeah. Well, in the 80s, they actually used a lot of practical effects. They would film, they would construct ghosts and goblins, and they would make them puppets, like how you don't like. And they would film them on green screen or a black screen, that I think that they did. But this one was all CGI. All the ghosts on there felt like they were CGI, except for some of the demons, like some of the ghosts in the town when shit hit the fan. Those look like practical. Like there was a dead guy sitting at the diner bar, and he looked like he was a practical effect, which was a lot of you know, what the original movie was. But yeah, I will say that the look and feel of the ghosts did feel very Ghostbusters.
Right. But what about the demons, the little dogs with red eyes?
The demon dogs. Yeah. Well, you know what? I did notice that they were CGI.
The demon dogs.
The demon dogs. No. I think they were called terror dogs in the original. They were credited as terror dogs. But, there were moments where I thought that they were CGI, but it wasn't bad CGI. And then I think that there were close-ups where they actually look like practical effects puppets.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So they had a really good mixture, because as long as you can blend the line, like how Jurassic Park did. Jurassic Park had CGI dinosaurs, and they had practical visual effects, like on-camera dinosaurs by the Stan Winston Studio.
But you know what's funny?
What's that?
The 80s original movie, the practical bothers me. But I actually loved that they stayed true to that in this new movie.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I loved 80s practical effects, because they are bad, but it looks like somebody tried so hard to make it real. That's one of the reasons why I like them, is because, yeah, it looks fake, but it looked like somebody tried so hard to physically make it look real, and that gets a lot of forgiveness from me.
It's very hard for me to explain what it is that bothers me about it. It's not that it looks fake. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's like the color of the film. It's the feel of it. I can't explain it. It's just when you start introducing all these weird puppets and shit walking around,
it pulls you out of it.
It pulls me out of it. It makes me feel like this is like a boring film. And Ghostbusters the original, although I will say it is the only one I enjoy of the entire franchise, it gets boring at times for me. So it's not that I dislike it. It's just never been one of my favorite movies that, you know, people worship and buy clothes for and stuff.
All right, so I have a question for you though.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah.
You are not.
Right.
And then Ghostbusters Afterlife comes out.
Yeah.
What made it? What about Ghostbusters Afterlife made you want to go see it?
You know, that's a good question, because you would think I wouldn't be that excited about it. But there I was, opening night.
With me.
Side by side with my buddy. And I'll tell you the truth is that I think it's nowadays, we're just barely getting back to movies going right to theater exclusive and not streaming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That I love going to the movies, and anything remotely interesting that I kind of want to see, I get super excited to watch it in a theater. And I like going to the movies with my buddies. You know, I like going to the movies with people and going and doing something fun. And I was looking forward to it.
So a huge factor in this was the fact that it was being released specifically only in theaters.
Yeah.
And no streaming service available for it.
That's definitely a factor. It gets me out of the house. I got lazy, and I think most people did. When something streams, you're like, great, you know, I'll save money. I buy a bottle and I'll have to go out and buy drinks and dinner. And you just sit, you know, if you got to pause it, you can pause it. We all got kind of used to that. But I love going to the movie theater. It's one of the best memories that you have as a kid. And mm-hmm. especially going with I went with my family all the time. You go with friends. And I love that we can still do that, and I'm so happy it's back. And then also, it just looked good. I like 80s. Here's the other reason why I was excited to see it. I like 80s feeling movies with kids doing some adventure.
Okay, yeah.
And, I mean, I think that that's really on the comeback right now. Ever since Stranger Things, I think that everybody's doing an 80s themed with a bunch of kids, you know, mm-hmm. and anytime and it's usually very successful. So I'm like, yeah, that looks good. I mean, one of the kids from Stranger Things is in it. And I was
Finn
like,
Wolfhard. Yep.
What's his name? Oh yeah. Finn Wolfhard.
Wolfhard.
Wolfhard. Yeah. He's awesome. And when I saw he was in it, I'm like, this is going to be great. And I was definitely willing to try it.
I too agree with you on that. I did like that they used him in this, even though he's been a part of so many other 80s types of franchises, whether Stranger Things, It, and now Ghostbusters. But something different that they did is that he wasn't like the main focus of the movie. It was his younger sister, played by McKenna Grace.
Yeah.
And she did awesome. She really was the heart of the movie.
I would go as far as say she's the lead in the movie, mm-hmm. and she certainly carries it. I thought that she was incredible.
Because when I first saw the trailers for Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I knew the history of Finn Wolfhard, I thought that he was going to be the main character, the main pull. And I was so surprised, and I was pleasantly surprised that he wasn't, even though, I mean, he was a main character.
Yeah.
But I like how he wasn't the focus.
I would say he's in it an equal amount of time as her, and even the same amount of lines maybe. But
she really was the heart. She was the anchor in the movie.
She carries really, it. I mean, you have leading actors, which sometimes they can carry a movie and sometimes they can't.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, Paul Rudd.
All right, for you guys don't know, he's not a huge Paul Rudd fan. I love Paul Rudd. I like everything that he's ever been in. I think he's a fun actor. But you don't like him when he's a main guy. You like him when he's like a B character, right?
Right. I don't hate Paul Rudd, but yes, I'm fine with him being in the movie. I don't like every comedy, the main guy has a best friend who shows up every now and then to be like, dude, let's go to Vegas. Paul Rudd all day can be that friend. But Paul Rudd as a lead, I don't buy him. He's very average. He's very vanilla to me. I don't think there's anything very special about
him. People like vanilla ice cream.
But they like chocolate chips in it and shit, too. this guy.
I'll agree, but
that's how much I like this movie, is that I actually love Paul Rudd in it, too. And he's very, very funny.
He has been known for being in a lot of, like, wacky comedies, I would say. And something that I did like about this was that, and with because of his role as Ant-Man in the Marvel universe, especially when it came to like Avengers Endgame and stuff, I like that he was still funny, but his acting felt very serious, and that's something that I also liked about this. Like, he was very funny in this, but it felt like he took it seriously, and I actually believed him as a seismologist working with at a summer school and stuff like that. He was perfect for this movie.
He was very believable as a teacher that didn't really give a shit about teaching, but was really.
Passionate
about the subject, though.
Because he wasn't a teacher. He's a seismologist taking a job as a summer school teacher.
Right.
That's what I liked about it. He's showing... All right, spoiler alert. Is that okay if I say
sure.
that? Spoiler alert. I loved it how he was teaching the summer school kids. And he's wheeling the TV in, and he's using VHS tapes to keep them occupied so he can do... He's making them watch Cujo and
great.
Chucky. It was... I loved it.
I laughed so hard.
That was so funny to me.
I laughed so hard at several scenes in this movie, and I don't know if that has to do with seeing it with people.
Yeah.
Because you always laugh harder when you're with people that you know.
Yeah, I will say that because we saw it last night, opening night, and it was a relatively packed theater.
Yeah.
And everybody was laughing during it. And you're right. Just like with stand-up comedy, if you have a packed audience, the laughter momentum of
it's
everybody
contagious.
Laughing is contagious. But I went and saw it today. It was a Friday morning, 10:30 a.m. And the theater was not packed at all. And it wasn't – the jokes didn't hit or wasn't as rolling as hard as it was with the packed theater. But still, with the minimal amount of people in that theater – everybody was laughing, and I was still laughing at the jokes.
So 100% of people are still laughing.
Yes, they were definitely still laughing. I was still laughing.
That's the other thing I liked about this movie. I can't remember the last time I went to a theater and laughed that hard. In theaters to a
when,
new movie.
When was it? You just said you can't remember the last time.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you know what? And this is something that I love about Ghostbusters.
I remembered.
What is it?
Daddy's Home 2.
Oh, my. You would. No, but this is something that a misconception about Ghostbusters is that Ghostbusters is supposed to be a straight comedy. People, that was a big thing with the 2016 Ghostbusters, is that they approached it like a comedy. When the original Ghostbusters, yes, it had comedic actors in it, but they took it seriously. They tried to make scenes scary. They tried to make scenes serious, and there were comedic actors involved in it. And that's something that I noticed about a lot of the comedies, especially recently, is like, I don't like straight comedies. I like movies that have a lot of humor in it, and they still have like a really good story to tell, rather than just straight comedies where everything is just like shock comedy, and it's just like, it's not believable.
You know? There's some story, there's some romance, there's some hardship, and is that a word?
Hardship? I get
like
it.
There's
hardships.
Hardship.
Well, hardship is just like somebody going through something difficult.
What's a heart ship?
I don't know. The Goonies ship at the end because it's a heart and we all love pirates.
Yeah, there's There's action, sci-fi. There's a serious. There's an emotional. I didn't cry because I don't have any personal attachment to the original Ghostbusters.
I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
I wasn't just crying. I was like hyperventilating during a lot of these things. I was just like, oh my God, these are my heroes. Okay.
I can see if someone who as emotionally attached to Ghostbusters would cry during this movie. If you love the original Ghostbusters movie and you grew up watching it, you're probably going to cry during this movie.
You're definitely going to cry during this movie because I did. I'm not
emotionally attached to the first one. Okay. And I felt something. I didn't cry, but I felt something. Like, you know, when you get like that movie moment at the end.
Movie magic.
Movie magic. I felt it, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Was that a moment of silence for movie magic?
Movie magic, moment of silence.
Is there anything you didn't like about this movie?
I mean, coming up with something you didn't like about this movie, you really do have to reach. Of course, I know that this movie had mixed reviews. A lot of people didn't like a lot of the fan service. But if there was going to be a movie that had fan service, it's going to be this one. And you know what? It did it well. There's one thing, if you stop a whole movie to remind people about the other movies, that's different. That's like forced fan service. But this fan service was completely welcomed. That is what Ghostbusters is. I mean, you look at the name Ghostbusters, what do you know about Ghostbusters? The original Ghostbusters, the original story, that's where all the heart is. And if you want to make a new Ghostbusters, you want a connection to that movie, of course you're going to use fan service. But this movie did fan service really well.
Well, I mean, that's a good point too. Fan service, they have to keep going back. I mean, I love the Rockies, but like Rockies continuously like will remind you what happened the last movie.
They meant the Colorado Rockies.
No, the Rocky franchise.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but you're right, dude. Like they didn't remind you. They didn't do flashbacks to the original. You're right. They just did this story and didn't have to because everyone going to see it is fans. And why would you not want fan service?
Yeah. What's wrong? What the fuck is wrong with? I'm sorry for swearing, but what is wrong with fan service? There's nothing wrong with fan service unless it's forced and it takes you away from the story. The fan service was integrated into the story. And it's the whole reason of the movie. It's Egon's grandkids, and they're discovering what he was working on and trying to stop the end of the world. Of course, it has to do with what the Ghostbusters lore is. But you did ask me about things that I didn't like about
the movie. Well, hold on a second. Let's wrap up this fan service thing. Right. Why wouldn't you want fan service? If a movie didn't have fan service, especially if it's attached to a huge...
Yeah.
Franchise like this, why you would be mad if it didn't have fan service?
Yes, exactly. That is literally why fans go to a movie is because you're servicing the fans.
Guess
you're
what?
You're making a movie that they want to see.
Guess what?
What?
They already did a Ghostbusters without fan service, and how did that go?
No. The 2016 it did, actually that did have a lot of fan service, and that's what angered a lot of people is because they tried to separate from the original continuity of the original movies, but because of the backlash, they couldn't help but just fan service the original continuity. If you're gonna make a separate movie about something that was based on Ghostbusters, like okay. But don't focus on the original continuity. Like, that's what they did. They stopped the original 2016 Girls Ghostbusters every 5 minutes to remind... Well, that's what it was.
Women.
Women Ghostbusters. They stopped it every 5 minutes to remind you of the movie that you wish you could get the continuity for. Like, that's what it was. The whole reason they made that movie was because they couldn't get Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Ernie Hudson back in a movie together. And then that's why they made the 2016 Ghostbusters. And then they sued Bill Murray to be in it, and they forced all the original Ghostbusters into the movie, but they weren't playing original Ghostbusters.
They sued Bill Murray?
Yeah. Dude,
how? Why?
The Sony leaks came out. Amy Pascal's emails came out and said that they were using aggressive litigation to get Bill Murray to appear in the 2016 Ghostbusters movie. And yeah, I don't know how they were using aggressive litigation to get him into it, but she said that that's what they were doing. So
if they were being aggressive to him, why'd they sue him?
I don't know why Amy Pascal. I don't know. I don't know why they were using aggressive litigation to get Bill Murray into the 2016 Ghostbusters.
But why didn't he want to do it, but he agreed to do this one?
Well, I mean, he didn't want to do any, because Ghostbusters 2, okay, Ghostbusters 1, huge hit. Ghostbusters 2 was a flop in the box office, and it technically ruined Bill Murray's career. And so ever since then, he was getting bad movies. His movies box office numbers were going down. And then finally, he started getting good movies again, and he didn't want to ruin that by doing another Ghostbusters movie. So he was basically saving his own appeal to be in movies. And that's why he wouldn't do another Ghostbusters.
Well, I say this, he held out for the right Ghostbusters, so yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Just let's close this part of the conversation by saying I'm for fan service.
Yeah.
If you go see a Fast and the Furious movie and they don't give you a little hint that Paul Walker's still there in spirit, you're mad.
Yeah.
If you go see a Power Rangers movie and they didn't give you a little Tommy tease, you know what I'm saying? It's just the truth. Give us the fan service. Like, I don't want to go in to see, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, and they don't have Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, which, by the way, they did for part four, and that's the worst of the pirates. Give us fan service.
Yeah, and a big thing, too, just to close that out, is as long as the fan service is done well, it's not forced. When you force fan service and it takes you away, that's when it gets bad. But whatever.
I'll force fan service
on you
right now.
None of that fan service. But did any of that shit feel forced?
No.
In watching Ghostbusters Afterlife, it did not feel forced. It felt like it fit into the movie.
So go on. What did you not like about it?
All right. What I did not like about the movie, and I had to reach to find things I didn't like about the movie. Maybe a little bit of the pacing. A little bit of, you know, not explaining certain things, like how all the kids knew how to use all the equipment right away. And that could be a complaint, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't need my hand to be held. Like the kids know how to figure shit out, dude. Yeah. Like a kid, they press buttons. They know how to pull levers. That I was okay with that. Another thing that I would say that I didn't necessarily like, I mean, I did like it, but I could pick on it, is, you know, spoiler alert again, there's a point in the movie where the kids, they're taking Ecto-1 out and they're trying to bust a ghost and they get arrested and they have to make a phone call, and McKenna Grace decides to call the Ghostbusters phone number from the commercials that she saw on YouTube, and she called Dan Aykroyd's character, Ray Stantz. And so there was some forced exposition where he's giving the backstory about why they aren't friends with Egon anymore. They're falling out. And a lot of that kind of felt a little forced, but at the same time, it's just like, you got to keep the story going. And it really isn't necessarily about the explanation about why Egon and the Ghostbusters broke up. They're just trying to get to the end part of the story. And they're saying, and there was, they kept on talking in the movie, referring to Egon like he was an asshole, because he left his family to go move to a farm, and I didn't hate it, but at the same time, everybody's like, we know Egon's not an asshole, so what are you getting at? You know what I mean?
Well, I also, during that phone conversation with Dan Aykroyd, I can see where you're coming from, where it felt forced.
Yeah.
Like they were trying to give some kind of story.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I liked it. We all knew that Egon wasn't like bad guy or anything.
No.
So it did leave you a little curious, but I actually kind of liked it, because later on it does pay off, and it does, that moment does make the ending a little predictable, but that's what you want again with the fan service. It's like, we all kind of predicted at that moment how it would end. At least I did anyway. I was like, oh, so at the end, you know,
yeah.
And then how disappointed would you be if it wasn't what you predicted, though?
I actually, you know, it's funny. I actually predicted the entire ending of this movie. When I first found out that they were making this movie, I was like, okay, I like that it's in the same continuity, and it's about Egon's kids discovering, you know, Egon's the proton packs and stuff on his farm. And when I found out that Bill Murray was appearing in it, and it was confirmed that he was appearing in it before any trailers came out, and I said, ooh, I'm like, if he's going to be in it, I'm like, if he's not in Ghostbuster gear, if all of the original Ghostbusters are not in Ghostbuster gear, I was going to be a little let down.
Well,
but I knew the movie wasn't about them. But I knew that they were going to be, once Bill Murray was confirmed to be in it, I knew that they were going to be in there as Ghostbusters. But I knew that they weren't going to be the heroes of the movie, because it is a passing of the torch. I knew that they would make an appearance as Ghostbusters during the third act. I'm like, they're going to be in there in the third act. They're going to help the kids.
All right, don't go into so much detail about what happened. This is like spoiler shit.
Yeah, it is spoiler shit.
I'll give a little spoilers alert.
All right, all right.
You're telling the whole ending.
All right, without spoiling everything, the reveal of a lot of stuff in that third act, I actually had in my head as soon as, shot for shot, I had in my head. I knew that they were going to do that. And I'm that's exactly how I would do
and
it.
And they did it exactly the way they should have done it.
Yeah.
It was just great. It was great. I left the movie theater feeling good and that I wouldn't have changed the way that they ended anything. But I will agree with you. One of my problems with it is that there were moments where it didn't move.
Yeah,
quick.
The pacing.
The pacing. Bit. There were some scenes that were a little long and sci-fi-y for me.
For you.
For me, just because, you know, I'm not the biggest sci-fi
person. But, you know, when we're talking about the pacing, and when we're talking about things maybe may not have moved as fast as we wanted to, still those moments were still good. It was character-building moments about these new characters, and I still enjoyed it. But you're watching a Ghostbusters movie. You want to see proton packs. You want to see ghosts. You want to see a lot of that stuff. It's in there. It's not few and far between, but, you know, it takes a while to get to a lot of the really cool, beautiful moments that fan service, you know, wanted. So.
And there are some great new characters in this franchise now. Dude, McKenna Grace stole it for me.
Phoebe Spengler.
I want to see her in Stranger Things. I want to see her in a lot more things. I will tell you one character I didn't love. I'm not saying I don't like, but I didn't love. Guess.
J.K. Simmons?
No.
Okay. I don't know who.
What? Was he even in it?
Yeah, that I would say that is one of my things that maybe I didn't, not that I didn't like, but something that I'm like, there's something weird here, but we'll get into it. But I don't know. Who is it that you didn't like?
The character that I didn't love was Podcast.
Get out of here, dude. Go leave right now.
Yeah.
I love Podcast. I thought he was great.
Nothing against the kid. The actor is Logan Kim.
Okay.
Nothing against that kid. I thought he was great. He did a great job. The character itself was nothing we haven't seen before. It was like I've seen that character in 1,000 movies, and he at times became a little annoying to me.
Oh, get out of here, dude. He was not annoying at all. He killed it every single scene.
Here and there.
No.
A little. Obviously for me. I'm saying it.
Podcast, you were great. You were great. Logan
Kim was great. The character Podcast. I'm also a little over movies nowadays always trying to incorporate that one character that podcasts.
Yeah, it's also a little
overdone, and it just makes it seem like any little kid can do a podcast, and it's a little insulting to people that have podcasts.
Well, no, because, I mean...
Well, any little kid could do a podcast.
Well, here's what I do like about it, is that he wasn't, like, gloating about making, like, his podcast in general. He was just always recording, and it was an interesting way to have exposition.
But what I didn't like about it is that's what I'm saying. We've seen 100 characters in movies and TV shows today, whether it be podcasts or even go back before podcasts even existed. There was always the character who was like walking around with a camera on his head or always had a little walkie talk. That's been going on in shows and movies
like for probably
20 years of just somebody walking around, you know, their school going like, yeah, this is for my blog. Or whatever. It's just like we've seen that character so many times. And the kid did great and it was fun. And there's a great joke at the end which made the whole thing worth it.
Yes.
So I don't want to sacrifice that.
No.
If I could pick on one small... If I could choose one character that I wasn't 100% in love with, like I loved the rest.
Ooh, you know what I will say about that though?
What?
Like I can understand where you're coming from, but not necessarily about people with podcasts, but... People like with phones and movies, and how they're like they're always there, and like they're always recording, and yeah. It takes me out of it. I mean, there were cell phones in this movie, there were smartphones, but what I liked about podcasts is that he wasn't always there with a video filming everything. I prefer him with the microphone. You know what?
I laughed at a lot of his lines too, so nothing against the kid at all. I wouldn't even say I didn't like him. I would say if I had to make a list of my favorite characters, he might be at the bottom. But just doesn't mean I didn't like him.
Well, that's what you get.
Also, this the guy who played the sheriff, who is played by Bokeem Woodbine.
Okay.
For 2 seconds, I was like, damn, Chappelle got fat.
No, but he did deliver, you know, it's funny because he delivered the line that everybody was expecting.
Yeah, and it was dry and it was funny.
And what it was dry and funny.
And it wasn't expected at that
moment. No, it was expected at that moment. As soon as they set it up, he started walking forward, and I said his line in my head before he said it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Dude, I totally said his line in my – I actually said it out loud in the theater. I actually reached over – no, I reached over to your wife. Because she was sitting in between us because we were not allowed to sit.
Oh, you said it to her?
I looked over and I said the line before he even said it. But, I mean, it didn't bother me.
All right. So this is not a review, so I'm not going to ask Kevin anything. But in our group of friends, we made up this thing which basically makes fun of me and my view on movies called the Ago Meter. So they
rate. Can I explain the Ago Meter?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. The Ago Meter, say it, generally people who love movies, right? If me and my friends were like, oh, this movie was great, it's at an 8.
So out of 10. So 1 out of 10.
Out of 10. Well, oh, this movie was great. It was at an 8. But for some reason, all the movies that we love, he feels the opposite about. And so if we're at an 8, he's at a 2. And so that's what we call the Ago Meter. So if we really loved a movie, if we're at a 9 for a movie, we'll be like, that's at a 1 on the Ago.
So on the Ago Meter, it's a 1, which if I saw a movie first, they would use the Ago Meter to determine how much they would like it. So for example, if I give it a 9, they're going to be like, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Or if I give it a 1, they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be a 9 for us.
Yeah.
So that's the Ago Meter. So on this new segment of the Rewatchables, at the end of each discussion, I would like to give my Ago Meter, even though this is not a review podcast and Kevin's not going to give his score because he's not reviewing.
I'm not. There's only two movies I haven't scored.
This one,
Ghostbusters Afterlife, I will not
refuse to give it a score.
I won't give it a score. And Avengers Endgame, I did not give a score
either. Because you just don't want to put a number on it.
Yeah, because I mean, like when all your emotions are invested on something that takes years, even decades. I mean, Avengers Endgame, that was like over 10 years in the making, wrapping up 10 years in the movie. I'm like, I'm not going to put a number on that because I enjoyed it thoroughly. And especially with Ghostbusters Afterlife, I can't give it a score because I was so invested in it. My score is going to be biased anyway. I loved this movie, and I can't put a numerical value to it.
All right, so he's a 10. All right, just
no, because I can never get Back to the Future is the only 10.
So on the Ago Meter, this movie. Let me take that again because your little foot made it wobble. All right, so the and by the way, the podcast listeners are getting the real raw version of this without cuts.
We like it raw. Ghostbusters Raw should be the new sequel.
That's the part two. Ghostbusters Raw. Yeah. That sounds like a porn. Another porn name. All right, the Ago Meter on this movie is an
8.5. We're at this thing where it's not necessarily the Ago Meter because your thoughts on this movie reflect a lot of our own thoughts.
Yeah, lately I've actually been kind of similar to your guys' opinion on stuff. Yes. So
there are very rare movies where we rate it the same.
Very. So the Ago Meter is at 8.5, dude. Okay. That's where we're at for this movie. And
when we walked out, you said a 9.
Yes.
When we walked out, you did say a 9.
When we first walked out of the theater, I said a 9. I was on the high of that great ending.
Yeah.
And then I thought about it more, and I think what's keeping me from a 10 or a 9 is the pacing a little bit.
Okay.
And a little bit of the characters that I didn't fall in love with, but I mean,
they weren't bad.
It's really hard to pick on this movie, really hard. But if I have to, I wouldn't give it a perfect 10 or even a 9. I'm gonna be at a very, I think, a fair 8.5.
I think that's a funny way to look at movies too, especially, well, just things in general. When you like something so much, it's almost like you feel like you're being tricked, so you kind of have to give it a, you have to knock it down a little bit, because like there's no way it can be a perfect movie.
So some of them are. I've very rarely, but I have given things 10 before.
But that brings me to a quick thing I want to talk about, especially when it comes to movies, is the feeling walking out of a movie. So when you're walking out of a theater, how do you feel? Especially, I know you don't like to sit through long movies.
Yeah.
And when you go to a theater, you're not in the comfort of your own home. You're there with a bunch of people, and people are walking by. And, it can get distracting. And so when you spend money at the movie, you want to walk out feeling like you had a great time. And there have been a lot of recent movies where I walked out and I'm like, hey, it was okay. And not so much walking out of there feeling emotionally like that was fucking cool. I enjoyed
it was cool.
So much of that movie. Like, I would definitely go see it again. So I would rewatch it.
I was just going to say, let's end this podcast by saying this movie is absolutely rewatchable.
I was going to say it at the same time as you, but there's no way we were going to sync that.
So do you want to do it again?
Sure.
This movie is absolutely rewatchable. Wait, should we rewatchable while we do the fist?
This movie was rewatchable. Fist. Point.
No. Okay. Rewatchable. Watchables on the fist. Because that'll be our...
Well, this movie was rewatchable, not rewatchables. That sounds funny.
Yeah, rewatchable.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Okay.
All right. So in conclusion, Ghostbusters Afterlife, we're voting it
rewatchable.
All right. Now it's time to figure out the movie next week. So to do that, we're going to have to play a little game. I got some movie trivia cards right here, and we're each going to take a turn. We're going to do it kind of fast, like rapid fire. You can't be taking too long on a turn to spit it out.
I thought you meant like with my beer.
No, and whoever gets to the first person to get three correct wins. We're going to go back and forth, and whoever wins gets to choose the movie that we discuss next episode.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to go first because I'm pretty.
All right, go ahead.
The 2018 Oscars were moved to avoid clashing with which sporting event?
Is there multiple choice?
No.
Can you give me multiple choice?
No.
Because I don't like sports. To avoid
why would the they move
Super Bowl?
No. Okay, next question. It's got to be rapid fire.
Okay.
There's two questions on each card, but it's your turn.
All right. Oh, okay. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them takes place in the same universe as which other movie franchise?
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
And, all right, next question. How much did it cost to make the film Titanic?
Oh, my God.
To shoot out a number.
$100
million. $200
million. $200 million.
By the way, this side is all science fiction adventure, and this side is general trivia.
Oh, my God. So what? Give me this shit, dude.
Yeah, no.
This is the question I want. The roar of the T-Rex dinosaur in the original Jurassic Park was produced by layering the sounds of which three animals? I already knew this answer.
The T-Rex?
Yeah, the T-Rex roar was a mixture of three animals. What three animals was it mixed up?
Walrus, hippopotamus.
No. To be fair, I actually knew for sure one of them. But it's a tiger, an alligator, and a baby elephant.
Oh, wow. And by the way, I didn't tell you the answer why they moved the Oscars. It was the Winter Olympics.
Oh.
Okay. All right, but fine. I got one. You have two, right? All right, I'll give you a question from this side.
Right.
What is the name of the starship in Star Trek?
The Enterprise. The Starship Enterprise.
USS Enterprise, but I'll give it to you.
Okay, thank you.
There's another question on there, though. Okay. So you have one, I have one. Your turn.
Sci-fi, I can give you sci-fi. How many years after the first Blade Runner does Denis Villeneuve's sequel Blade Runner 2049 take place?
That came out like 2 years ago. 30 years?
What? You got it. You know, you got it.
I did get it?
You got it. It's 30
Ooh,
years.
Ooh, I got two. There's another question on there. You want to hang on
okay,
to
okay, yeah, sure.
All right, but it's my turn. In which movie did Alan Rickman make his final big screen appearance in a voice-only role before his death?
A voice-only role before his death.
I don't know if you would know this movie.
Sing?
No.
I don't know. What
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, no.
Read me your question.
You're going to get this. What was the name of the virtual reality world in the 2018 movie Ready Player One?
Oh. The Oasis.
Ah!
That's three. Right. I win. So, the movie I picked to discuss next week, which you will have to watch.
Wait, if it's a movie I've already watched, I have to watch it again, right?
No, if it's a movie you've already watched and you know it enough to have a discussion, then you don't need to watch it again. But if you haven't seen it in quite some time and you don't know that much about it, you should probably watch it before we discuss it.
Okay.
I choose Rocky.
The original? The first one?
Rocky 1.
Okay. I'll watch it.
So, next episode of the Rewatchables, which Rocky is very rewatchable, we will be doing Rocky 1.
Rocky 1.
And that's it, you guys. This is the first little trial here of the Rewatchables. It's a brand new segment. You can catch it right here on the Homeschool Podcast feed. And you can also catch these entire episodes on YouTube. And then the actual short segment, which is edited down, will be on Instagram. So don't forget about our sponsors, which is Uni Pizza Ovens and True Dog. Links and banners are all at homeschoolpod.com. You can catch me performing live somewhere near you soon, hopefully. So go to homeschoolpod.com and click on tour. And on Instagram and Twitter, I'm Augustino Zoida. And you can follow Kevin's. You don't use your personal, right?
No, well, especially if you're watching this because you love movies, I have a movie Instagram called Twin Pines Video. And I do a lot of fan art of movies, a lot of VHS photography. Go ahead on there, Twin Pines Video. Check it out.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for checking out the new segment, Rewatchables. I'm Augustino Zoida. He's Kevin Lyons. I'll see you guys next time.
Peace.
Homeschool Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschool Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all.